today's top five list, your idea, the best athletes to come out of Wisconsin's system, excluding Division I. Jim Gantner.
Might have managed in the Northwoods League.
Jim Gantner. Gumby. Yes, Jimmy I'm Gantner's 2 for 2.
Shut up and sit down.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by Bay Care Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, and Roll Tech.
What's up, Wisconsin? From the Inside Wisconsin studios, my name is Trevor Thomas, as always, with the one and only John Anderson out there in Connecticut. J.A., high highs and low lows here in Wisconsin. We win really well, and we also, well, we lose really well. Man.
Well, first I thought you were talking about the temperatures with high highs and low lows.
True. That is here, too, as well. It's flannel season.
And is there anything that is actually less true than the one and only John Anderson? Because there's like a billion of them, right?
You
like,
are one and only.
I don't know if we want to restart the show.
Shut up and sit down.
But I just think for future reference, like, it's, you know, it's hardly the one and only John Anderson. In fact,
the only one that matters to us. How about that?
I and I'm not even sure that's right. You know, yeah, we got high. Listen, it's the Packers continue to look pretty good. And then I feel bad because I thought for sure I would have to spend, Big Ten Championship Saturday all invested in the Badgers. And I was stunned that they laid an egg against the Gophers and they lost the Jacks. And it was, they had me in. They were, I was ready for a season early. I'm like, okay, we have some disappointments. That happens. We've been spoiled. And they get me all ready. And then I just really one of the more shocking games I've seen from the Badgers in the last umpteen years.
And then we're on to some basketball now. The Badgers won that little Maui Invitational thing that was fake in Vegas. That was fun. And that's relevant for us today, of course.
Right. Yeah. The Maui thing is cool if it's in Maui.
Right.
I think it's cool in Vegas, too. I just feel like the kids can get more in trouble.
Hey, fun to get a championship under our belt early in the season. And so today's guests, Greg Gard and Jeff Gard. Greg Gard, head coach of Wisconsin basketball. Yep. Jeff Gard, head coach of UW-Platteville. You got to have a guard if you're talking Wisconsin basketball. But that got you and I thinking just about all of the different championships and all the different levels of championships in Wisconsin. I mean, Platteville started it, right? I mean, like all those championships that they had under Bo Ryan, that's impressive stuff. And that's kind of a segue into what we're talking about today with Jeff Gard. But it just makes us realize that Wisconsin is producing some incredible outcomes in the sporting world. And it's not all just professional or at that top echelon of Division I.
Right. So I get that the Wisconsin and UW-Madison, that's the flagship campus.
Yeah.
As you go through, and there's sort of almost some specialties in there, right? If you want baseball players, for years you went to UW-Oshkosh. You want great track on a D3 level, you go to UW-Lacrosse. Platteville, as you said, in basketball. Whitewater, and we'll touch on that with your brother. You know, you want football national championship there. You need a hockey national champ. Let's go across the river into Pierre from Green Bay. Let's go to St. Norbert's.
St. Norbert, right.
So it is amazing that you can't, you don't have to, as my folks in Missouri would say, you pretty much can't swing a cat without hitting a championship program in Wisconsin at some point. And they are really impressive because not only these aren't one-offs, man, like these are dynasty type programs that have been built at these universities.
All within the walls of Wisconsin, as Barry Alvarez would say, let's build a wall around Wisconsin. Let's get into it today on the basketball side with the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball head coach Greg Gard and his brother. Don't shake a stick at this. Platteville's the real deal. UW-Platteville's men's basketball head coach Jeff Gard.
Got to have great guard play.
Shut up and sit down.
And so here they are, the Gard brothers, Wisconsin basketball icons at University of Wisconsin, of course, as well as UW-Platteville. I mean, we go way back, but it's Coach Greg Gard and Coach Jeff Gard with us on Inside Wisconsin. What's up, fellas?
Hey, how we doing? Hey,
guys.
The Platteville roots here run really, really deep. I mean, it's basically right. This is all the way back to high school, is where this is your stomping ground. This is where you grew up. I just want to know, I have been 35 years covering this profession in sports and watching. And I want to know what kind of parents let their kids go into coaching, not one of them, let alone two of them. This is a, I get that it's kids and it's rewarding, but it's a hellish profession, quite frankly. And I just want to know what kind of one, let alone two, go into this.
Well, I was a trailblazer, John. So I paved the way, and he had a much smoother path than I did. I got a lot of, what the heck are you doing?
Yes.
Comments from, and why don't you get a real, one was actually, when are you going to get a real job? So that obviously about 5 years ago, it turned extremely real. So I don't have to deal with that question anymore. But no, I mean, it was just something where we, you know, kind of followed or found a passion, and not that we didn't have other things that we liked, but they let us go with it. They let us run with it, and they encouraged it and supported it, albeit a few sidebar comments once in a while when you weren't making peanuts or doing a lot of volunteer stuff. But I think it's all turned out pretty good for both of us.
Yeah, Jeff, it's you guys and Gary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, does Gary coach someplace? What does he do?
Gary helps out with the youth programs up in Partyville. I think it was kind of by default a little bit. They said, you got two brothers that coach, you got to know something as well. but, you know, Greg and I have always joked around about it as well. He's the smart one. He's in the ag business, so he followed the route of dad and what dad was in with being an ag loan officer as well. But, you know, Gary kind of got into the market a little bit, the ag side of things. But, you know, and he was also one, ironically, Gary was the one that played 4 years of college athletics, playing college football. And Greg and I found out early that our best route would be a coach, not a player.
That's awesome.
He's so more affectionately known as Cooper Manning. all his buddies have coined him Cooper of the family when you got Peyton and Eli. So,
jeez. The Badgers, huge victory in Vegas at the Maui Invitational. And if you would have sat here in the beginning of the season and said you already had a championship under your belt, Coach, you probably wouldn't say that to be true. But ironically, of these two guard guys, Jeff has the better record at the moment. As we record this, Platteville 6-0, the Badgers 5-1. Guys, how's the start of the season going?
Well, his is obviously better than mine by a game.
One less game. That's the only difference there. But, no, it's I like the group that we got. Obviously, we got a lot of experience back from, I don't want to say just last year. I mean, we graduated three guys off of last year's team. But, you know, I've got a bulk of the guys that were part of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago, and a fifth-year senior class that's now won four championships in a row with me. Obviously aspirations of number five, but you know, when you have that experience, and it's kind of the opposite of what Greg's got. I've got older guys, he's got younger guys, but I tell you what, watching them this weekend in Vegas, yeah, what a remarkable accomplishment for them.
I've said about this group many times here in Madison that, you know, these guys experience so much in their careers before they get to college that having younger guys, freshmen, I'm starting a freshman point guard and Chucky Hepburn. And, you know, 20 years ago, that was headline news. Now it's, they have so much experience between AAU and high school and all the different venues they play in before they ever get to college. And I think sometimes that's the drama or the emotional dramatic component of it isn't what it used to be just because of where they've been and what they've done. But, you know, our group, I've liked them from the summer. I just wanted to see how they were going to stack up when we started into real games. I thought we had a chance to be pretty good in time. I didn't know, you know, how we would, you know, respond and react, but it's a pretty gritty group. It's a pretty resilient group. So that's a good characteristic to have as you're starting out a season.
So John, about 3-4 weeks ago, I spent a beautiful fall Wisconsin morning touring UW-Platteville's campus.
Okay.
And it was awesome to see Bo Ryan court. Greg and Jeff, we actually had Coach Ryan and Will on the show a couple months back, and Coach Bo Ryan was very concerned where people spit on Bo Ryan court.
you know, we talk about mentors and people that you got to connect with. Anytime the family gets together, I can pick Greg's brain, which then obviously is like picking Coach Ryan's brain. It was, you know, learn from those that have kind of made the trail for you, but you also got to be able to put your own stamp on it. You got to be your own self. And obviously it's pretty easy to look at what people have done when they've been so successful and been successful in the same seat at this university. And it's, Platteville's a unique spot, you know, and it obviously it takes special people to be successful here when you're talking about the student athletes. And, you know, I think that's the one thing I've really tried to embrace of you get our type of guys. And I think that's the same thing that I can kind of see with Wisconsin as well, and what Greg's done up there as well as what Bo's done up there too.
So, Greg, talk a little bit about how much Coach Ryan means to you and the handoff, obviously, the program. And, I mean, you followed him. Obviously, you were with him in Platteville and then Milwaukee and then Wisconsin. I mean, just take us back a little bit. What does this Bo Ryan tree of coaching look like and mean to you?
Well, I think it's, Trevor, it's something that you never completely appreciate until you're, you know, it's like anything in life. I think once you've gone through it, and then you can really reflect back and appreciate the times that you had together. And Bo and I, since he's retired, probably even more lately than ever, have reminisced and kind of connected on some of those things, because it was such a successful run. Obviously 3 national championships in 6 years. I was with him at Platteville, and then the transition to Division I, which was a new world for all of us, and then obviously Wisconsin shortly thereafter. So it just, I think one thing that stands out, you know, regardless of level, and we talk about this with our players all the time, don't get caught up in the Roman numeral behind the school, because good basketball knows no level. And how you win, and how, I mean, there's a lot of ways to be successful, and there's a lot of ways to play. But I think being able to really see and embrace how we were able to be successful in Platteville and how it translated to the two other schools, and terminology, the players became bigger, faster, and stronger, but the terminology and the how-to was very much the same. You know, fundamentals win in any sport. So I think just, you know, really experiencing that when maybe the outside world thinks there needs to be some big splash, there's some quick fix, there's really not. It's really about, you know, in football, you better be able to block and tackle. In baseball, you're able to run the bases well, hit your cutoff people, you know, just do the little things well. And I think Bo's ability to communicate and stay true to that over the course of time, you know, is what probably resonates the most.
I want to then talk about the UW system, which obviously Greg Madison sits at the head of that, and you now have the big job. But when I grew up, and there was no bigger star than Al McGuire at Marquette. But if you go through my senior high school athletic banquet, we had a great coach come in by the name of Dick Bennett that spoke. Right. You look at what Bo Ryan has done in there in GB when I grew up, what Dave Buss does. Like the coaching talent that is in the UW system at, like you said, lower level, whatever, D1, D2, D2 D3, there's really been some significant guys there that then have gone on to do great things. Do you feel like then that recognition has come to places like Stevens Point or Platteville or, you know, UWM, these other spots, because of some of these great names that people look at that and go, yeah, there's good basketball coaches there?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pieces to that, John, in terms of how it gets there. I think you look at Coach Bennett and Coach Ryan, both cut their teeth in college in that league, which mm-hmm. at that time was the WSUC. And I think that's still the best Division III league in the country, top to bottom. And think that the national tournament proves that out. But I mean, you had great coaches in that league, and you still do. I mean, you go back through the walk of yesteryear, Dave Vandermeulen and at Whitewater, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned Stevens Point. It was, you know, it was Dick Bennett. Then it was, you know, Bob Parker. And, you know, you, River Falls was Rick Bowen. You had Ken Anderson at Eau Claire, obviously Bo at Platteville. So, you know, it's just the lineage of coaches that have come through there. And I think the one thing that really helped Coach Ryan and Coach Bennett have success, not only at Stevens Point and Green Bay and Platteville, but it set them up for success at Wisconsin and at Milwaukee, for in Bo's case, was that they understood how you needed to develop a program and how you needed to play given the talent that could be acquired in your state, and both had a very good grasp of how to be successful with what they were able to coach. And I think both of them learned that. Dick obviously coached in a lot of different high schools. Bo coached out in Pennsylvania in high school before he came on Bill Cofield's staff in 76. So I think part of that small college or high school background in terms of being a teacher first, helped put that in place, that foundation in place for what could allow them to be successful at the higher levels, that they understood what the state of Wisconsin was about. They knew the level of talent that could be and how you had to play given the level of talent to utilize or to have student athletes from the state on your roster. So I think the combination of a lot of those avenues help create Bo and Coach Bennett's careers and really, I think, gave them the blueprint to how to do it at a higher level.
Jeff, anything to add to that from a Wisconsin coaching standpoint?
You know, I the one thing I would probably say, and it was always told to me as well, Greg told it to me, I know Coach Ryan mentioned it as well, be great where you're at, you know, and I think with Coach Bennett, with Coach Ryan, there was never aspirations of them getting to Green Bay or getting to Wisconsin. It was, we're at Stevens Point, we're at Platteville, we're going to make it the very best while we're here, and success will get us noticed. And I don't think they were ever looking to make a jump. And I think that, again, kind of shows the strength of the state league is the fact that you have great coaches that don't want to leave. Because, as we say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I think it's been proven. You know, you look at the coaches that are in our league right now, we've got a lot of guys that have been around here for quite a while. And not only the fact that we've been head coaches for quite a while, I'm going into my 13th year, but out of the 8 coaches in the league, I want to say 7 of them, maybe 6 of them, have been assistant coaches prior to taking over as head coaches. So there was success that was going on. There was opportunities for them to leave or for us to leave to go somewhere else. But we always felt that this was the best fit for us.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard and UW Platteville head coach Jeff Gard. We are Inside Wisconsin with the Guards back in a bit.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by BayCare Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, and Roll Tech.
Day A Inside Wisconsin and American Family Insurance. We're calling it Quotes for a Cause. Pretty awesome.
I like it. I want to learn more, and I'm glad that we are a part of this with American Family. My thought is, listen, if it's good enough to be on the Brewer Stadium or you can put it on Steve Stricker's sleeve, that is a great partner, great neighborhood. I'm glad we're there.
Us too. We are glad we're here with them. It's Quotes for a Cause. Head to insidewisconsin.com/AmFam. Get a quote, and your local participating agent will donate $5 to Habitat for Humanity. John Anderson's going to come and build houses. I just signed you up for that.
Listen, my dad, Collins Custom Basement, for years donated a basement to Habitat Humanity every year. But he went out and did that in the Green Bay, Brown County area. So I can't think of a better partner, and I can't think of a better cause, especially in and around the holidays, right? Gosh, if you can get somebody home for a holiday and get them in and get them shelter and put that Christmas tree up or have that Thanksgiving dinner, whatever it is, boy, that'd be special. And we are lucky that we get the chance to be a part of it.
InsideWisconsin.com/AmFam. It's Quotes for a Cause. Go and work with your local American Family Insurance agent. Go there now. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. We are back inside Wisconsin in between segments with the Guards. Diving deeper into this idea that Wisconsin produces incredible talent all the way down through the system, J.A., mm-hmm. Today's top 5 list, your idea, the best athletes to come out of Wisconsin's system, excluding Division I, correct?
Smaller schools, small colleges, yeah. Smaller universities that were became famous, small school Wisconsin athletes. So, and as I was putting together the top five, I also told you, this is great. I have an 8-way tie for fifth.
Yeah, which I was like, great. I don't stand a chance. I'm just going to be along for the ride on this one.
Okay, so we start with the two guys that helped lead them to the championship game. A couple of like Ron Ripley, a Pulaski kid, and you got Tom Anderson, a Southwest kid, right? So they're kind of on my list. They're not quite there yet. I don't know if you football. Remember Matt Turk, the punter? Punted till he was like 43.
I do. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So Matt Turk, he's a Whitewater guy. He was fantastic. Punted for 16 That's years right. from all pros. He's terrific. He's on the list. Baseball-wise, then we got a bunch of guys I put down. You got Damian Miller.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
World Series catcher for the Diamondbacks.
Yep. Remember that?
He got a bunch of great ones. It was with the Cubs, but he went to Viterbo. Am I saying that right? In La Crosse?
Viterbo.
Yeah, Viterbo. Yeah. So he's from there. Then you had Bob Wickman, Abrams.
Yes.
Pitched for the Yankees, pitched for the Brewers. He was amazing one spring training. He was a decent guy when I was in Phoenix. He was great. He's a Whitewater guy. Jared Washburn for the Angels was terrific. He's Oshkosh. Jordan Zimmerman, who was great in there with the Nationals. He's a Stevens Point guy. So those are the guys. Those are seven. And the other guy that's tied for fifth is a guy named Andrew Rock.
Don't know him.
Why is it when I mention a track and field guy, you always get this quizzical cat-like look on your face? Like,
don't know that.
When I walk in the house. Guy was a 9-time national champ, 17-time All-American. Dude's got a gold medal.
Okay.
Was part of the 4x400-meter relay team in 2004 that won the gold medal. He ran in the rounds, wasn't in the final, but he's got a gold medal. So Andrew Rock, he's from La Crosse.
So that's all
the
five.
Guys in fifth.
Yeah,
I don't know how you're going to put this on the screen, but we'll just start with four. So number four.
We'll start at four.
You see if you guess it. So number four is another lacrosse track guy. One of the great track guys in lacrosse. Like I think if I have this right, 17-time All-American in track.
Wow.
Played football 1 year, which is good enough to get him drafted. Good enough to let him play for the Green Bay Packers at wide receiver.
I got it.
Who is it?
Billy Schrader.
Bill Schrader.
Yes.
He's number four. Billy Schrader, UW lacrosse. Don't get fooled by the football. He was a far better track guy than he was a
That's
football.
That's awesome. I went to a Packer like team of basketball players that went around the state and played against local cops and firefighters.
Sure.
Billy Schrader could jump out of the gym. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to say he was at least a 25-foot long jumper. At one time, I think he had 6 school records, but a fantastic track athlete.
That's awesome.
Football 1 year, his fifth year. He was there. He exhausted his track eligibility. Went out and, okay, I'll play football.
Pretty That's good. Cool.
Okay, so number three, we talked about great baseball players from UW Oshkosh. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have this written down. He may have played more major league games than anybody that had come from Wisconsin small college town. Brewer great, heydays, 80s, World Series, second base. Might have managed in the Northwoods League.
Jim Gantner. Gumby. Yes.
Jimmy
I'm Gantner's two for two.
Number three.
All That's right? awesome.
So, and now two and one were really hard to separate.
Okay.
Okay. Two and one. Number two, coach the Bucks, helped lead the Portland Trailblazers to an NBA Finals.
Terry Porter. Yep, knew that one. I knew he was going to be on the list. I didn't know if he was going to be number one or not, but actually in prep for this, I was saying, yeah, Terry Porter's definitely going to make the list. 100%.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to arm wrestle me or argue that he should be one as opposed to two, I'm not getting in that fight. I'll just go, sure.
You can sure, fine.
Number one.
Okay.
And this is great. From Tiny Milton College that no longer exists.
No. Oh.
Great quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. Is Dave Craig.
Oh.
The great Dave Craig, Tiny Milton College, replaced Jim Zorn, threw a ton of touchdown passes to Steve Largent, really a lot of ton of success. I find his story unique in that not only was he a great NFL player, his college isn't there anymore. It's not even a thing.
Gone.
In Tiny Milton College. So
Milton College.
Craig. Porter,
that's a good list.
I'm okay to flip them. Jimmy Gantner, Bill Schrader, and then my other eight that are tied. So that's and I'll tell you this, it's humorous because if it ends up on the cutting room floor, that's fine. So Dave Craig, because played for Seattle, naturally, anybody who's ever stepped foot in the city of Seattle is friends with Kenny Mayne.
Kenny Mayne, yeah.
So Kenny calls Dave Craig one night about something. And he goes, by the way, I'm sitting here with John Anderson from Wisconsin. So he knows who you are and probably know where Milton College is. And so Craig's like, now, where did you go to school? I said, I went to Green Bay Southwest. He goes, do you know Russ Mann? What? And I said, well, Russ was ahead of my time. Russ was more my brother's age, 75, 76 ish grad. Russ Mann might have been one of the great athletes in the history of Southwest High. He was the tailback on the football team. He was the shooting guard and had all the points in the basketball team. He was a great track athlete as well. And Dave Craig said, I played with him. He was one of my wide receivers. And to think that this guy who we thought, you know, locally always had the one guy who was great, right? You know, that guy, sure. The guy in your neighborhood who was super that you thought, wow, if I could be as good as that guy, but that he played with this guy who went up with the NFL and he remembers playing with him is still was staggering. So yeah, here I'm at, this is the odd part of SportsCenter. I'm sitting there one night and the next thing you know, I'm talking to Dave Craig about Russ Mann, who was a great, great athlete at Green Bay Southwest.
3 degrees of cheese.
Everywhere, right? It's just, it's absurd.
Doesn't matter where you go. All right, back to the guard.
By the way, your brother would have cracked the top 10.
Yeah, he was pretty damn good. It's funny. In his wedding, I was giving a speech about how proud of him I was, winning a national championship at Whitewater, All-American right. offensive lineman. And one of his guys that was standing up goes, dude, he's on the wall. As in, like, if you walk into Whitewater's locker room, Brady's on the mural. I mean, he is pretty incredible. Yeah, not shout out to Whitewater. I had a blast at those games. All right, back to basketball.
Shut up and sit down.
We are back inside Wisconsin. Trevor Thomas, John Anderson, Wisconsin basketball head coach Greg Gard, and UW Platteville head coach Jeff Gard, the guards inside Wisconsin. All right, guys, so inside Wisconsin, per John and I, is all about the people, the stories, and the statriotism of America's Dairyland. We love us. And we can't get enough of us, right? So let's start with Greg on this one. Greg, you really haven't left the state. I know Jeff spent a little time out of the state, but Greg, you haven't left. Am I right? What does Wisconsin mean to you as the place that you grew up and continue to make your career?
Well, I think, Trevor, you look back, you know, I'm going to be 51 next week. If you would have asked me at 21 or 31, I might give you a different answer. But I think Jeff mentioned in the previous segment, you really try to make the most and embrace where you're at in the moment. And I've always kind of taken the approach that if you do the best job you can in the current one, the next one will take care of itself. It'll work out okay. And obviously I've had opportunities to leave or stay when the staff moved on. And I just, it got to a point where, you know, being in the state, was the best option as I laid everything out and staying on the path that I was on. I never had a goal that I had to be a head coach by 40 or had to be at this level by 35 or anything like that. It was just, let's make the most of this year and this team and try to help them become the best they can be. And, you know, then as you go on in your career, you get married, you have kids and some of those dynamics come into play and have heavier value than maybe where you're at or what you're trying to chase. So, you know, it's just a life evolution, so to speak. But being in the state and being at, you know, the head coach at your, you know, mothership school, so to speak, in the state, there's a lot of pride with that. You also know there's a lot of responsibility. I think you take it much more serious than maybe somebody from the outside, just because, or if I was a coach at another state school in a different state where I wasn't from. I think you just understand, because I know the history. You know, I grew up when Wisconsin was not going to the NCAA tournament and not playing in bowl games. My kids don't know Wisconsin in not in the NCAA tournament or not in a, you know, somewhere around New Year's Day bowl game. So just watching that and having understanding of the past and history, I think gives you an appreciation. And like I said, increases the level of responsibility and maybe ownership and commitment that you have because you know how much it means to so many people.
Jeff, what about you? I mean, following the footsteps, obviously, of Coach Ryan and your brother, but now back at your alma mater. I mean, you graduated from Platteville twice, I believe. You have 2 degrees from there. What does it mean for you being a Wisconsin boy coaching here in Wisconsin?
For me, and in Platteville in particular, 20 minutes north of me is where we grew up. So I remember at the young age of coming down here and sitting in the stands across from where I stand today, and cheering these guys on and seeing Greg kind of go through the actions. And, you know, and then obviously also coming back and being a part of the summer camps. And this is what you did in the summertime as well. You went to Platteville basketball camps, you went to Platteville football camps. So it was kind of entrenched in you. Being in Platteville, it's just, again, it's that family atmosphere. It's not just Platteville, it's Southwest Wisconsin, and really kind of expanded to the tri-state area of Iowa and Illinois as well. For me to be able to stay here, it's just the connections that have evolved over the time, that, and more of the relationships of really kind of building the family and expanding it all out. But like I said earlier, there's been opportunities, but you look at those other opportunities, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And having my wife and my 2 kids be able to grow up in this area, she's originally from the area as well. And then mom is, you know, 20 minutes north of us. So it's easy for me to get up there and spend some time with her as well.
If my mom was 20 minutes from me, I don't know that that would necessarily work, but I'm glad it does for y'all. Jeff, I tried to figure out the math a little bit with Greg, but it seems like for basically better part of 30 some odd years, there's been a guard there at Platteville. And if you go back to Bo, I realize everybody's always trying to do what they do and make their legacy and their thing. But do you feel at some point too, that you're kind of the protector of the guard Bo something there at Platteville?
Well, there's always been a guard here. They just spelt it differently.
Yeah, sure.
No. Yes and no, maybe to your answer or your question. You know, I've just embraced the opportunity to be here, knowing that this was such a special place for me. Like I said earlier, is watching it, you know, when I was growing up and just kind of seeing it. And heck, I remember in grade school, we had to write a paper about somebody famous. And, you know, I've got all the friends, or they're writing about Montana and they're writing about Jordan and whoever. My paper was about Bo Ryan. And at that time, there wasn't books out on him. I mean, the only book that I could read was How to Run the Swing Offense. So maybe that's why we run the swing down here. But no, I don't want to say it's the protector, or it's just, I was fortunate enough to be in the right spot at the right time. But then now it's taking pride in what is going on here, knowing what this program means to this community and to Southwest Wisconsin.
I was reading some articles in prep for this too, and found one where, Jeff, you talk about how you want your kids to view your players like their big brothers. And so I'm curious to know your philosophies and how you protect your program like family. Greg, we talked a little bit to Bo about some of the things that have gone down in your program, and boy, did he have your back. And I know that you got your guys' back. When things happen, how do you treat your guys like family? What do you do?
Well, I think you help them just like you would help any family member. You know, you're honest with them. You point out the pros and the cons, you communicate. But there is a time too when, you know, because our guys specifically, they live in such a fishbowl. I always tell them they're the most recognizable athletes on campus because we don't wear helmets mm-hmm. when we play. So they know exactly who Brad Davis and Johnny Davis, Chucky Hepburn are, Stephen Crowell. So we have to, obviously, you want to make sure you're carrying yourself the right way. And, you know, I talk about giving it the grandma test. You know, if you don't want grandma to read about it in the newspaper tomorrow, it's probably not a good idea to do it. So just it's common sense, really. It's nothing magical. I think it's just do the right things and treat people the right way. But because they are in such a fishbowl, there are times I found myself where I've got to get a little more, I would say, outwardly spoken to protect some guys. And if I have to go on the offensive a little bit, I'm not afraid to do that because I know these guys very well. And you know, if there's, and they're going to get, there's always going to be opinions. There's always going to be criticism. That's the world we live in. We are a very popular, you know, team to follow and to watch and a very passionate fan base. But when they start to cross that line and attack the person, then that's where I have to make sure I step in and, you know, call what's wrong. So, you just, like I said, anything you do for your regular family here at my house, I would do for my guys, and you make sure you know that they know that I tell them that all the time. So there's no ambiguity on where coach stands with things. And if coach ever has your, he may get after you in practice, but when push comes to shove, they know that I'm in their corner.
I think we kind of walked up adjacent here a little bit to the, I don't want to say controversy, the story, Greg, about the seniors that had a meeting with you. Okay, great. I saw that. I read what you said recently, and I feel like what you dealt with wasn't an uncommon problem, how it came out was. Mm-hmm. I want to know, in the past 18 months, because every time I hear coaches talk, if nothing else, especially on the floor, we like to scream spacing, spacing, spacing. And I think once you get off the floor, the worst thing you can have with your basketball team is spacing, spacing, spacing. And just the challenges that were presented over the last 18 months of trying to somehow get a cohesive team that you couldn't have around each other except for those very limited times right. that you were allowed to practice.
Yeah, I think COVID had a lot of, you know, it, you just look at society and COVID and all the things that it did, it, in addition to actually having the virus itself, you know, how it impacted society. And this, even though we had to follow protocols and those things to remain safe, it had a detrimental effect in terms of, as you mentioned, trying to develop and grow the chemistry of a team. And we're at Wisconsin, as in the other places we've coached, we're very dependent on that, you know, and we really want to be, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, so to speak. We have to be connected. We have to be together. And, you know, I think when you can't have all the avenues to be able to help that grow, and it was a very stressful time. Looking back, it created so many unintended consequences and created so many unintended levels of stress and anxiety that it, you saw the ripple effect. And I think that's, you know, we're looking here at college basketball, which is in the grand scheme of life is minute in terms of importance, and where we were just a small, more visible piece of the impact that that could have.
Jeff, how'd you keep it together in your team?
World of Zoom obviously brought us together, but you know, we, this group, again, for us being a little bit older, you know, it was trying to get the new guys adjusted, and keeping them acclimated in what was going on. You know, the big thing is just, we tried to, for us, we didn't get to play, we didn't get to do anything until January. And then we finally got their guys to be able to come back together, and we were doing pod workouts for a while, and then got shut down for a couple weeks, which worked out fine. It was right before Thanksgiving, so our guys got a little extra time with the family and then get them back. But you know, I think the big thing is just always trying to communicate with them different things that we could do to keep the team connected.
All right, we're back to wrap it up with the guards in just a bit. We are Inside Wisconsin.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by BayCare Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, and Roll Tech.
Day A, Inside Wisconsin and American Family Insurance. We're calling it Quotes for a Cause. Pretty awesome.
I like it. I want to learn more, and I'm glad that we are a part of this with American Family. My thought is, listen, if it's good enough to be on the Brewer Stadium or you can put it on Steve Stricker's sleeve, that is a great partner, great neighborhood. I'm glad we're there.
Us too. We are glad we're here with them. It's Quotes for a Cause. Head to insidewisconsin.com/AmFam. Get a quote, and your local participating agent will donate $5 to Habitat for Humanity. John Anderson's going to come and build houses. I just signed you up for that.
Listen, my dad, Collins Custom Basement, for years donated a basement to Habitat Humanity every year. But he went out and did that in the Green Bay, Brown County area. So I can't think of a better partner, and I can't think of a better cause, especially in and around the holidays, right? Gosh, if you can get somebody home for a holiday and get them in and get them shelter and put that Christmas tree up or have that Thanksgiving dinner, whatever it is, boy, that'd be special. And we are lucky that we get the chance to be a part of it.
InsideWisconsin.com/AmFam. It's Quotes for a Cause. Go and work with your local American Family Insurance agent. Go there now. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. We are back inside Wisconsin. Coach Greg Gard, Coach Jeff Gard, John Anderson, and Trevor here with you. All right, so it's lightning round. I promise to talk about Wisconsin stuff. I joked with the guys earlier, and Jeff, I don't think you were on the call yet. I was in the woods this morning finding a deer that I shot last night that I let lay overnight. John and I talked about deer hunting in the last episode and how he's not, he's just not a deer hunter. We'll just leave it at that.
That's all. But that's all.
I won't go any more in depth. If you want to go back and watch episode 18 and hear John's opinions on deer hunting, feel free.
You know why Festival Food sponsors this show? So that I don't have to go out there and do this. I'm not a caveman anymore.
I want to know, are the guards deer hunters? Jeff, are you a deer hunter?
I am. It's growing up in Southwest Wisconsin, you've got to be. Growing up in Wisconsin, you've got to be a deer hunter. So, I was fortunate enough my first day out, because we were playing the weekend, our opening weekend last week. So my first day out was Wednesday. I'm efficient. So 6:15, we're out in the woods. I've got my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old in the deer stand with me. And by 6:45, we had one. So we were quick. John, that's kind of the hunting that you would have liked.
Quick. That's a breakfast ball right there. Yeah, get it out of the way.
Like, what the heck?
You have to before you run out of snacks for the kids. Well, they'll get to,
That's awesome. Greg, do you hunt?
I do. Probably not as much as I'd like. My day job takes priority, but I haven't yet in this. I know we're in the gun deer season right now. I haven't yet because we've been in Vegas, but maybe later today and tomorrow before we roll back to practice. But I bow hunt. It gives me a little time. I just like, you know, being outside. I've grown up just like Jeff, you know, hunting and fishing. And hey, you're from Wisconsin. What the heck else are you going to do? It keeps you out of trouble. I just enjoy being outside. I've got quite a few trail cameras on our place here, and I just enjoy that too, and taking care of food plots and those type of things. It kind of gives me a stress reliever and when I don't have to be downtown on campus or thing like that. So it's been fun.
All right, one more question for me here, and then lightning round with J.A. Guys, you have had incredible success with guarding against cancer. Tell us about that and your dad's legacy that you guys are attempting to really bring to life here now that he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, we were, Michelle and I, my wife, were always involved in Jeff and his wife, Amy, were involved in cancer fundraising and different organizations, and obviously understood the importance of that. But, you know, when you have somebody go through it personally, and I don't know if either one of you two have or have watched a family member or a loved one go through a diagnosis, treatment, and then unfortunately not the end result you want, and they pass away, I think you understand and get a better grasp of just the impact that cancer can have on people when you're sitting, you know, right in the front row watching it every day. So it just coincidentally, about 45 days after our dad passed away in late October of 2015, you know, Coach Ryan retired mid-December of 2015. So we went through that season in an interim basis. We're able to get the team turned around, have success, go back to the tournament, go to the Sweet 16, and then I was named the permanent head coach. So knowing that we were going to have that platform and the voice, being at the University of Wisconsin, we really wanted to do something. Obviously, cancer now, because of our dad's experience and our family's experience, rose to the top in terms of what we can do philanthropically and how we can help not only the community of Madison and and the University of Wisconsin, but the whole state, because as we've talked about, we're both from the state. My wife, Michelle, went to Eau Claire, UW-Eau Claire. I went to Platteville. She taught and was a principal at a variety of school districts around the state. You know, we've never, neither one of us have left the state. And also our dad, referring to back to Jeff again, he was a Wisconsin guy. He was a, hey, let's shop local. Let's help the neighbor across the street. You know, he understood the impact and importance of helping your local community. But I learned more about that and his involvement after he passed away than I never knew when he was alive. It was a lot of it. He wasn't braggatory. He kept it to himself but understood the importance of the impact you can have and how important helping locally is. So Guarding Against Cancer just really developed out of that idea that we wanted to keep all the money raised right here in the state of Wisconsin to do obviously research at the Carbone Center, but also to help in some patient care initiatives across the state. And we've been able to do that. It's in those local communities across the state and giving money back to a variety of foundations and entities in those local communities to try to help and just doing what we can to give back and try to help people fight this disease.
Jeff, what do you got to add there?
Kind of what Greg was just sitting on is kind of dad's philosophy, mom's philosophy of think globally, work locally. Obviously, Greg and Michelle really kind of spearheaded with some help at UW with the Guarding Against Cancer and keeping all the funds staying in the state of Wisconsin. Mom obviously expanded that as well. She started up the Iowa County Cancer Coalition, which obviously supports people in Iowa County, the county in which obviously she lives in and in Cobb as well. And going through it as well, that obviously money for research is great. It needs to be, because that's the way you're going to get the cure ultimately for cancer and how we can end this. But there's so many more things that come and that are on the plate of those fighting cancer. And it's a lot of that is the emotional support. So I was just talking with an organization the other day here in Platteville, and just the being in a smaller community, how it's so great. Everybody rallies around everybody. Again, it's really kind of what dad was all about, what mom and dad are really all about, of helping the next door neighbor. And I think that's something obviously Greg and I've, and I give Greg the credit obviously for the vision of it as well, of really kind of making it more local. You know, now obviously it's an opportunity for, as Greg said, to use our stage to bring awareness, and most importantly is to help those that need help.
Yeah, amen. You're doing good work.
Well, and I consider, even though there's quite an age gap, and when I was a student, he scared the hell out of me. But I've become decent friends with Norm Stewart, very good friends, who was really sort of at the heart of Coaches Versus Cancer. And he says it for everybody, even the smallest thing, make sure you know your family history, know when you're at risk, get regular checkups for those kind of things to just see where you can get preventively and you don't get into some of these situations. And then there in Madison, obviously, Andy North's work with the Carbone Cancer Center to raise millions of dollars for them is unbelievable work, which leads me to my big speed round question for you, Greg. If you had to turn the team over to Andy North, how many games could he win in a Big Ten season?
In golf?
No.
Oh.
No. You got it. Here he is. Here's the clipboard. You get to even call the timeouts. He wins how many games?
Man, I don't know. They put a number on that. I don't know how practices would be run with Andy. You know, we have a putting green on the side. You know, Andy used to coach football here.
Back yes, at Dave he did.
McClain. When I was an assistant, he was at more practices than I was, because I'd be on the road recruiting. And now as a head coach, I don't miss practice. So, but he's in there and he's pretty well in tune. He calls it how it is. You know, and he'd win his fair share. I think, right. And they'd compete, because he's a competitor. You know, don't get confused by the eloquent sport of golf. He's pretty competitive.
I'll do this one really quick, and I'll let you get out of here, because it might take a second. I want you to strip away that you are coaches and that you're a leader of young men's and blah 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 blah. I want to know what it is that you just love about the game of basketball. Why is that your game? Greg?
I think I had terrific teachers and mentors and coaches when I was young. I got to be a part of a state champion or state tournament team when I was coming through high school. The impact and the experience that I had, that was really what drove me or led me to coaching. I wanted to try to create the similar type of experience. I had no idea that it was going to turn into the head coach at the University of Wisconsin. That was never even crossed my brain, but it was just the matter of the experience that I had growing up, loving to play the game. And it was really created because of the opportunities with the coaches and like I said, teachers and mentors that gave me those opportunities and created an environment that, I watched really successful teams at Iowa Grant.
Jeff, why basketball?
I think it's an avenue, a teaching avenue that we can kind of help people get to where they want to go so they can't do it by themselves. I think that's been the big thing of, as much as it is enjoyable for seeing our guys cut down nets and win the championships, it's seeing them when they graduate, that those job opportunities, being there at their weddings, hearing about their families growing as well, and then being with them through the ups and the downs of their life as well. So it's something that kind of keeps us connected with our guys much longer than just the 4 years that they're playing for us. And like Greg, we had some great mentors, great high school coaches in all sports, football, basketball, baseball. But I think no better mentor in helping young people grow than our dad.
And it also didn't help, guys, that I couldn't hit the college curveball, and Jeff couldn't read the college blitz as a quarterback. So we had to find another avenue to
hoops in it.
We got the pink slip in our athletic careers pretty quickly.
Sometimes the game finds us more than we find it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Trev, I got nothing else other than to just say this, Greg. When I was at Andy North and Friends about 6 or 7 years ago, I forget what it is. Just tell Krabbenhoff I think he still owes me money, and I'll leave it at that.
Guys, we love telling Wisconsin stories on Inside Wisconsin, and clearly the guards and the history with Wisconsin basketball is a story that deserves to be told. We are grateful that you joined us here today. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Shut up and sit down.
J.A., it doesn't matter where we go or who we talk to, we will cover deer hunting with pretty much every guest from here on out, just for you, just for you.
And again, I just want to stress, I just don't happen to be a deer hunter, and though I'm not totally sure I get it, I get where it fits in with our state and our hunters and our people, and good on you.
Good totally. On you.
I'm not turning down venison sausage at a tailgate party. I'm just saying I'm not going to go get it myself.
Got it. Noted.
I don't mind all you right. being my middleman.
Get in the vault, J.A. Tell us another story from John, Wisconsin.
Yes. Hey, John, why do you like the show? Well, we have a segment where I just get to be self-indulgent and talk about me. And so that's my favorite. Yeah. But I was thinking again, as we were talking about sort of the small college field, and I had essentially, I didn't realize it, very good small college. I had small college ability when it came to track and field, right? I had this banner season as a senior. So every year I have done, for the most part, the last decade, called the Bowerman Award. And the Bowerman Award is the Heisman Trophy of track and field. And
yeah,
we award that to these people that are, whether it's Grant Holloway or Galen Rupp or Jenny. And it is Ashton Eaton. These are the kids that win this go on to win Olympic medals and set world records. It's an amazing night. It's an amazing event. And it's during the coaches' convention. And the coaches' convention is every track and field coach. It's D1, 2, 3, NAIA, JUCO College, everybody there that's involved. It's put on by the National Coach Association. And in their Hall of Fame 1 year was a fellow named Gary Wilson. And Coach Wilson retired recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, from Minnesota, where he was the women's coach, cross country, track and field, and was a terrific coach. And he made the Hall of Fame in part because of that, and also because he started and grew this powerful track and field program at UW La Crosse. And so, I mean, they won untold national championships here, Gary Wilson. So Gary Wilson is now being inducted to the Hall of Fame, and I happen to be doing the Bowerman's, and we get done, and I ask everybody, where is Coach Wilson? I need to go see Coach Wilson and congratulate him. And so I find him, and I said, Gary, you don't know me from Adam. You might know me from TV, but you really don't know me. I said, but in 1983, the summer of 82, I went to your track camp at lacrosse. I was growing up in Wisconsin. I said, in 83, I had the second best high jump in the state. And I was on the front page of the sports section of the Green Bay Press Gazette. It was really nice above the fold. And you laminated it and you put the little lacrosse seal and you sent it to me. And I had this little note that you said, you know, congratulations. If you have interest in running in college and would like to find out more and be here at UW La Crosse, please call me. We think it'd be great for you.
Wow.
And it was the first time I had ever thought about, like, you can run in college. Like, I know people did that. I just didn't know I could do that. Like, that wasn't in my future. Like, I had no idea that was going to happen. I'm going to go to the Wisconsin and do what I do. I have, you know, go to school and, you know, like everybody in Wisconsin, probably flunk out once, come back second time, get it right, get my degree. It was this amazing thing. And my mom's a pack rat, so I still have the letter. So I know I'm going down there, and I bring the letter, and I go find Gary. And I said, you don't know me from Adam, but I said, I just wanted to show you this. And I pull out the letter and I show it to him. And I said, because of you, I thought, wow, maybe I can do this in college. I had never crossed my mind. And so that's when I called Wisconsin and asked if I could run. And when I went to Missouri, I could ask him to run. I didn't want to go to UW La Crosse. I wanted to go someplace bigger and that kind of, but because of Gary Wilson, I suddenly felt like, wow, I might have this value that I could do this. And then I found the right coach at Missouri who let me run. And while I was not great, wasn't all American or anything like that, I managed to have a fairly okay career. I was a captain of my college track team. I'm really proud of that at the University of Missouri. And because of those connections, I end up working, knowing enough track and field people and where my position is sports center. They said, we want you to come host this thing. So literally I'm standing there as a 50-year-old man with this letter I got as a senior in high school and told the guy, like, I'm part of the reason I'm here right now amidst all these world-class athletes and hosting this thing is because Gary Wilson sent me this letter and thought I had some value.
How cool is that? I mean,
shout out to Gary Wilson, Hall of Fame coach, Minnesota, UW La Crosse. And it goes to show, we always talk about how coaches shape people's lives. And they are, especially when you're a coach.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what they can do and influence you, even if they're not. And I think it is one of those great stories that really is the butterfly flaps its wings in the Pacific, and then there's a hurricane, you know, halfway around the world. And it was really a unique deal. And I am grateful to him. I am grateful to the sport of track and field. And I think it's just a wonderful testament to what we've kind of encapsulated here today, which is I get that people know the Badgers and everybody knows how to sing On Wisconsin. And you should. But the state and its athletics at colleges and university up and down are so much more than that.
Amen. Is it fair to say, can we connect the WEAC back to why John Wisconsin's ultimately on SportsCenter? I think we can. We'll roll with that for the show.
3 degrees. We could do it. Sure. It only can take
much. Oh, man. Wisconsin, we love you. We are so grateful for you watching, you listening, you interacting with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them. We're there. Search for us and, of course, subscribe here on YouTube. It is a snowy season. Be safe on those roads, please, both here in Wisconsin and out there in Connecticut. J.A., you too.
Hey, yeah. By the way, before we say goodbye to November, let's see it.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah, this is it, man. This is going. I am shaving this off to, yeah. I told you, look, it looks ridiculous. I'm not doing it anymore.
You were
Wisconsin.
Oh, my
I'm
God. Out.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by BayCare Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, and Roll Tech.
Shut up and sit down.